greetings from Maryam Alamu. Salam, salam, salam. You are listening to How Do You See It with your one and only host, Maryam Alamu. Tune in every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. This is your one stop to gain motivation, learn from stories around the world, and participate to share your perception towards your life. www.blogtalkradio.com/world perspective.
My beautiful listeners, today we're going to be talking with my good guest Cedric Newburn. He's going to tell us about divorces, how we can cope up after it, and how we can handle it, how we can talk to our kids about it, and all that. So, you know, one of the best days in most people's life is the day that they get married. They think, yes, this is it. I love this. I love this. I love this man. I love this woman. And we will grow old together. But that's not how it all goes. And my guest today is Cedric Newburn. And he has gone through this all. And Cedric Newburn is an author and motivational speaker, specializing in impactful relationship coaching. He's an author of Unconditional Forgiveness, Lessons on Letting Go to Build Better Relationships, and currently working on his second book that will be released in fall of 2016. Am I correct, Cedric?
That is correct. Yes, thank you.
Perfect. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
It's truly an honor. Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this conversation and very, very proud to be on your show. So thank you. It's an honor.
Great, great. Okay, so I didn't mention about your free ebook, if you want to talk about that first, because I read it and it's really great.
Absolutely. So, you know, I have, and I'll talk a little bit more about my story as the interview goes along, but I did write an ebook kind of as a follow-up to my first book that was released back in 2012. Mm-hmm. Largely because some things just keep occurring as I talk with people that are going through relationship challenges. The recurring theme seems to be, how did I let this happen again? They found themselves in a not so good situation. They got out of that situation, and then they get into another situation that, oddly enough, looks exactly like the previous relationship. Mm-hmm. And so that theme just continued to come up for me. And one of the approaches that I've offered is just, how do you move on? How do you change your mindset? How do you overcome the past challenges? You know, what validates you, and, you know, setting expectations. So it's really about moving on from where you were, because I think a lot of people will, let's just say, move from one relationship to the next, assuming that by changing the person, they've changed the problem.
Yeah.
But in many cases, the problem isn't necessarily with the other person. It may be with themselves.
Yes.
In terms of what their expectations are, what their expectations of themselves might be, how, and not to mention what they allow in their lives. And so that's why I said, you know, it's really important that we really address the issue of, why is it that we continue to let this happen? So I did an ebook, and it's kind of an introduction to the next book, which is yet to be titled, though I do plan to release it in the coming months. And it really deals with the baggage that we carry from relationship to relationship, and again, how to let that go.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about this series of work and what doors it's opened up in terms of helping people be free and restored so that they can have more positive and fruitful relationships.
Okay, perfect. So what are some of the factors associated with divorce, in your opinion?
You know, I would say the number one factor tends to be, and this is going to be a very difficult conversation, because many of us don't do the proper pre-screening. many of us get caught up in the idea of getting married. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in the idea of getting older and needing to be married. We get caught up in the idea of, oh no, I'm with child, or I'm, you know, I've gotten someone pregnant, so I probably should get married. So in many ways, I don't believe that we do the screening process that we could or should. Let's just say, I think people put more research into buying cars and shopping online, frankly, than they may put into understanding what their needs are, understanding personality challenges and interpersonal skills challenges that they may be dealing with when they are looking into getting married. Mm-hmm. So all of those things then, I think, play out in the course of the relationship that ultimately leads to divorce. Divorce comes from there not being a real connection between the two people. Yeah. There may be an inability to communicate. And I'll tell you, a lot of divorce occurs, frankly, from selfishness mm-hmm. on both people's part. Yeah. And again, I'm making some very generalized statements. I yes. understand that there are circumstances that are completely off or different from what I'm saying. But when you start talking to people on a regular basis and really getting underneath the surface in terms of what really occurred, what happened in the relationship, you know, there may be infidelity, there may have been abuse, which is absolutely not acceptable. And all of those things, there usually are precursors or warning signs that there may be issues. Mm-hmm. And it could literally be on both sides, that someone is aggressive, someone is possessive, someone has control issues, and that leads to those kinds of things. Someone isn't forthcoming and open. And so there are a lot of factors, I think, that do really lead to divorce, but I really think it begins with the pre-screening process. You know, you think about nowadays when you're trying to get a new job, they usually take you through at least 5 screenings before mm-hmm. you're even made they're given an offer.
Yeah.
You know, there's the initial screening just in submitting your application, where they do a keyword search of your resume. You know, so there's an on-purpose screening of individuals to make sure that they are who they say they are, and then their personality tests, strength tests mm-hmm. as well, that are used for employment practices. But we don't seem to use those kinds of things when it comes to relationships.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I love it. I love the reason you gave, because nowadays, especially young people, they get married really fast, and well, they're obviously in love, but I don't think being in love is the only way to go about when you want to get married with one person, because you're going to be literally living with that person. That means you have to know that person inside and out, and know that you can be compatible with that person, know that you can compromise a little, and know that some of his shortcomings or her shortcomings is not going to bother you, or you can accept and live with that. So I really am happy for you that you brought that up.
Absolutely. And you're right. I think people do get married too quickly, just as much as they get divorced too quickly.
Yeah.
I think we're just not, you know, no one really teaches us the things that we need to know. And I think that, you know, if you look back generation after generation after generation, people just don't seem to share, let's just say, the bad side of relationships. You know, our parents, and especially grandparents, you know, kids never even saw them have a disagreement. You know, they would literally go into the other room and fight it out. And then when they would come out, they would pretend like everything was okay. And that's not teaching us how to disagree with our spouse, or it's not teaching children how to disagree with that it's okay to have disagreements with the spouse, but to watch the process of resolving the issue, watch the process of forgiveness and healing. And, you know, and again, by no means do I condone having a knockdown, drag out argument with your spouse in front of your children, you know, not to mention, I don't condone that anyway, but from time to time, you know, let's just face it. sometimes our spouse gets on our nerves
and yeah.
may say something that sets us off because we've already had a not so good day, and it just comes out.
Yeah.
But for children to observe, yes, you may get upset. Yes, you may get angry. But in the end, you love each other so much that you walk through it, you work through it, you talk through it, you love through it, and to see the compassion that comes not only at the end once things are resolved, but also in the process. I think we don't show children that enough. So that's why I think nowadays people do get divorced really quickly, and frankly, they get married quickly too without doing the pre-screening.
Yeah. So as I said when I introduced you, you've been through this and in your personal life. So I'm gonna ask you something personal right now. Compared to me, a wedding day feeling was the feeling of a realization that the marriage has come to an end.
Wow. Great question. And you know, I'm going to say this in a joking manner, but I think you can appreciate this as I say it. The wedding day for men tends to be a lot different than the wedding day for women.
Yes.
And so that being said, asking me this question may not give you the same answer as it would, say, a female. Because for me, my wedding day was filled with uncertainty, anxiety, around what my life was going to be like. It was, you know, a little more concerned than there was this excitement. It was a beautiful day. I had, you know, my best friends around me. My family was there. There was what I would call a foundation of love and excitement for that day. But there was a whole lot of sprinkles on top of the cake of, you know, what am I getting myself into? Is this really and truly what I should be doing right now in my life? And literally, that was going through my head up until that moment. Mm-hmm. And I say that in all candor because I think a lot of times we just don't talk about that. I believe that if more people were honest about their feelings, I don't care how much you love that person, you are afraid of the unknown, and you also have looked around you and seen divorce after divorce after divorce after divorce, and all of these people that you thought were, you know, going to be married for 75, 80 years, for whatever reason, things went south. So you do have those questions in your mind. So that being said, I do know that the wedding day is really filled with bliss. There's excitement. There's a coming together of family. But then when you realize the relationship is over, you really start looking at it from the standpoint of, wow, this is, you know, I'm not going to be able to hang out with my sister-in-law when I travel to where she lives now, you know, and I really enjoyed that. And I'm going to miss my mother-in-law's, you know, apple pie that she used to, or in my case, strawberry cake. You know, I'm going to miss those pieces of this. And so there's this real defeat that you feel. It was the ultimate feeling of failure that I was unable to make my marriage work. And after, you know, having high hopes that I would be able to break the cycle of divorce that has occurred in my family, I'd be the one that would make it. I'd be the one that gets married one time and one time only and live happily ever after. And when that realization hit, I did picture that day that I got married, and I immediately went back to some of those fears that I had in my heart that day and questioned if those fears were being realized because the relationship was ending. So again, I wanted to preface it, and I'll close it with, again, a man's approach to wedding day. And you've heard the joke that for women a lot of times have been dreaming about the day they get married since they were little girls. They've imagined, you know, this beautiful princess wedding and you know, literally floating across the floor with a petal of roses and all these things. It is so exciting because for them, marriage is something that they're looking forward to, and it's truly a beginning. But then for guys, in many cases, unfortunately for guys, they see it as the end. They see it as the end of what they've enjoyed in terms of freedom and autonomy you know, the ability to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean I got to pick up my socks and, you know, I gotta change my underwear? What are you talking about? You know, this is, why do we have these rules? I don't understand. So for men, it is often approached as an end to what they saw as happiness. Now, in a good marriage, in a good relationship, men do come to the realization that, yes, it is the end, but it isn't the end of what was good. It's the end of what prepared me for what's going to be great for the rest of my life. And that's how I see it now. But that's my take on it.
Okay. Okay. So do you have kids?
I do. I have an amazing 8-year-old son that I actually have with my current wife. I did not have kids in my first marriage.
Okay.
But I do have a son now who is the joy of my life.
Congratulations. That's really good.
Thank you.
So if some of your clients come up to you and say, what do you think are some of the best ways to share this news, the divorce news, with their kids, especially for teenagers, what would you tell them? What's your advice going to be?
Well, I usually start by saying two things. Number one, your children know that the relationship isn't what it should be anyway. I know a lot of adults do their best, or in their opinion, their best at trying to shield their children from what's going on. But children are way more perceptive and realistic than we give them credit for being. And there is a hope and a desire by most children to keep the parents together. But they also know that the relationship isn't what it should be. So that being said, the other thing that I often will say is, you know your child better than anyone else. You know how to have this, you know, any conversation with your child, especially if it's good news or bad news, they typically already know. I think there's just this hesitation because, you know, naturally you're splitting up parents and you're having to divide households and you know, and believe it or not, some kids get excited because then they realize they get two of everything. They get, you know, a PlayStation at one house and a PlayStation, you know, mm-hmm. at mommy's house and one at daddy's house.
Yeah.
So, you know, some kids actually see it as an advantage because at least now they don't have to listen to mommy and daddy fight, and then they get two of everything. So what I try to do, again, not having had the experience myself, I will usually defer them to someone, you know, a counselor that is more equipped with in terms of family counseling,
mm-hmm.
and an expert in this area, because there's some great books out there, some great resources available. But I always recommend that if you are going through a divorce and you have children, that frankly all of you should go through counseling, because it will address communication issues. It'll address how to have the conversation, how to be great co-parents. And to make sure that the children don't have any lingering effects from the separation. So that's usually the direction that I go.
Okay.
And I always, you know, I'm a spiritual person, so I always ask that they pray first, and that they get centered in terms of what God would have them to do in the moment, and let Him lead their conversation with their kids. So that way it's you know, they feel more comfortable in that conversation, because 9 times out of 10, the concern that they have around having the conversation is more so the fear of the child's reaction.
Yeah.
And then once the conversation happens, absolutely drop everything to be there for that child. Be present. Be available to talk. Make sure that there are others available for them to talk with. In the event that they're not interested in talking to either parent, you know, that's just as important as having the conversation, because far too often, you know, we like to drop the bomb or drop the mic and walk out of the room, and then you leave all this heaviness on the kid to try to digest. And again, that's just not fair to that child.
So as a human being, it's obvious for us to tend to blame the other person for the breakup of our relationship or our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
What helped you realize that this was not only your ex-wife's fault?
You know, I did a lot of soul searching, and the amazing process that I went through, I would say, you know, even coming to the realization that my relationship was it needed to end at that point, I realized that, you know what, as much as I want to blame her, as much as I want to say that she caused all of this, I know for a fact that I didn't do everything that I could have done or should have done, that I wasn't ready for marriage in the sense that, you know, at the time that I married. So I really had to take a look at myself. And a lot of that happened because, you know, the one thing about divorce is that it's literally a death. You are, as I mentioned before, when you get divorced, not only are you divorcing the person that you're married to, but you're divorcing their family. And in many cases, you're even divorcing friends, because friends, yeah, unfortunately, if they are mutual friends, friends sometimes choose between you or the spouse, yeah, or the ex,
yeah,
in terms of who they want to continue the friendship with. So you've got to really, that whole process and that realization was the point for me to say, well, wait a second, why did this family member choose her instead of me? Why did they accept her concerns and not accept my concerns? Why do I get the sense that they blame me? Why did this friend decide to be friends with her instead of me? And, you know, why does this friend look at me, you know, sideways when I see them, you know?
Yeah.
So it really made me stop and think about me and what did I do and what role did I play? What image have I projected? And then I also realized that, you know what, the more I tried to say how terrible she was, in essence, to justify what, you know, the relationship not working, and I'm saying I as in anyone, the more that we do that, the more likely we are to solidify what other people have assumed about your role in the relationship ending anyway. You know, the more you beat somebody down, the more likely it is that people assume that you're the one that really are not the best person in the situation because you're trying too hard to defend yourself. Now, I will share with you, she's not here to defend herself, but literally in the office earlier today, my wife and I were talking to one of the young ladies on our team, and we were talking about the difference in how we both approach our exes and conversations about them. And my wife has never said a bad thing about her ex-husband. And it's like, yeah, but what about this? What about, nope, I refuse to say anything bad about him because I don't want him saying anything bad about me. And I also don't want, I would hope that he would defend me if anyone says something bad about me. And it really, her perspective is one that has taught me a lot because, again, you know how it is, even if you, not even in a marriage, you just break up with somebody. The first thing you do is you gather your friends around and talk, man, that girl was crazy in a way, you know, that guy wasn't no good, you know, because that does make you feel better in that moment. But as I said earlier, you got to dig deep and figure out what the root cause was for the breakup, or for that matter, why you got married to begin with and whether or not that was the right choice for you. So I think that that's why, you know, it's, yes, it's difficult to stop blaming the other person because that's so easy to do. It's harder to say, to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, it's my fault. And here are the things that I need to work on before I take my baggage to the next relationship.
Okay. So after all this is over, and now that you have calmed down and realized that you are to blame for the breakup as well, mm-hmm, how can you forgive yourself now? What worked for you?
Yes. No, and again, I'm sharing not just from my perspective, but even in conversations with other people that I've worked with. The hardest part of forgiving yourself is accepting that you made a mistake. And I said that earlier, you know, it's like divorce is the biggest sign of failure. And if you're someone that is about accomplishing your goals and meeting all of, you know, your dreams, you know, making them come true, and, you know, as long as you put your mind to it, you can make it work, you can get anything done. When you go through a divorce, you realize I didn't do what I thought I could do. And you beat yourself up quite a bit for that.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the forgiveness comes in. When you can say to yourself, you know what? You made a mistake. You didn't do what you could have done. It didn't work out. Whatever your personal scenario is, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I forgive myself. I love myself. I know that I can be in relationship, not just with somebody else, but I can be in relationship with myself. And that's critical, because in order for you to be in relationship with yourself and love yourself, you have to forgive the other person. You've got to forgive yourself, and you've got to be able to pick up the pieces and move on. So for me, it was that moment, as I said, you know, that whole process I went through of looking at my relationships that changed my, you know, my family scenarios that changed. That whole process really made me look at myself and say, you know what, at the end of the day, I've got to love myself unconditionally. I've got to believe in myself. I've got to love myself, because it's obvious that other people could change their love for me in an instant, depending on what happens. So I've got to have enough love for myself that what other people think, feel, or say will not have the impact that it's had on me over the last several months. And so those are the things that I really had to say to myself to allow me to get over that hump of being upset with the failure.
Isn't it hard to move on, though? Isn't it hard to move on from something you build up for a while, for a long time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, think about it. Moving on takes on so many different fashions. Imagine after you work for one company and you've developed relationships over the last 5 years or 10 years, and then you move on. That's difficult. Transition is always difficult, no matter what the transition is.
Yeah.
But again, you've got to always put it back in perspective. You know, and for me, I really try to continuously have a glass half full attitude. I'm very optimistic about life. And so I often will say to others that I think are challenged in the area of moving on, it's like, you know, it's amazing that we don't understand that a door closed in our lives. We get so caught up on staring at the door being closed, not realizing that maybe there was something, that a wind that purposefully closed that door for you.
Yeah.
Because there's a bigger door just to the right, and there's another window to the left that's wide open that leads you back out into that beautiful land that you so desire to be in, but it's a much better view. It's a much better place. So I try to keep that perspective. I try to share that with people so that, you know, they don't get stuck where they are. They don't stay. They've got to let it go. And in many cases, the irony is the very people that have the hardest time moving on are now no longer in relationship with other people that have in fact moved on.
Yeah.
So I'll say that again. The people that have the hardest time moving on are often looking at the person that they used to be in relationship that's now moved on. They're doing something else. They're in a different relationship. They're living their life again. And so now the person that's hurt, it hasn't moved on, they just continue to pile on more and more hurt and more emotions on top of what they've already dealt with, instead of just saying, you know what, you know, that was yesterday. I'm going to focus on today so I can have a much better tomorrow.